Okay. So, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. The question is, when did Yaakov actually leave? So that really, we have to go back to the last Rashi, very long Rashi, in the last week's Parsha, and Parsha's told us. Rashi tells us that, really, why does it tell us about when Yishmael died, what's going on with that, and this whole Indian about that Esav was marrying the daughter of Machlas Bas Yishmael, because it was married off by their brother, tells Yishmael died, to teach you that there's basically 14 years missing, the whole complicated cheshbon, that there's 14 years missing from Yaakov Avinu's life, based on the cheshbon of when he told Paro how old he was. So Rashi tells us there's 14 years missing, in the famous Midrash. Rashi says it must be that he was learning in Shem Ve'ever for 14 years. 14 years he was studying by Shem and Ever. So Rashi points out that also, there's another point that Rashi points out, it was not Nenesh B'schus HaTorah. We know that Yosef was Pirish Ma'aviv 22 years, and that 22 years was Keneged, Rashi says, Shepirish Yaakov Ma'aviv Elo Kibdu. Chav Shanim Beveis Lavan, Eshtei Shanim, that he was waiting to get to Shah Baderech. Those two, 22 years that he didn't see when he went to Lavan's house to be at Lavan, he was punished. Keneged, those 22 years, he did not serve his father, his beloved Yosef, who he loved so much, he did not get to see Yosef for those 22 years. So the question you could ask on this Rashi is that, wait a second, didn't Rivka, his mother, tell him to run away because Baruch HaKodesh, she knew that Yaakov was trying to kill him, that Esav was trying to kill Yaakov? So how could it be that Yaakov was punished 22 years when his mother told him to run away at that point and that she'll send him back? What's going on over here? Yes?
She said go away for a couple days. Came back way later than
so you could answer that any Hanami that he was there for much longer than that she wanted him to be there potentially, but she said she's going to send back for him. So the later part of the Alam Bechus that she's going to send back. She's going to send back to tell him when it's safe to come. So the Pasha of the Psukim is that when she sent back the Menekes Rivka there is when she was sending back for him. So the Chora, it is a little bit problematic still because it wasn't seem like the Yaakov really had done anything wrong. Yes?
He went to go get married, meaning his mother said to run away as fast as get married, but he should have done. He's gotten married, and maybe after that, if he had time, then go learn. But if he's not even fulfilling his father's command, he's not getting married, and he's just wasting time.
You're saying when he was learning?
Yeah.
But Rashi says he wasn't punished for learning. We're not focusing on that. That's a good question, but we're not going to focus that right now. We're focusing on Zechus HaTorah was able to save him for the 14 years. Agav, there's halacha kibud avim. Kibud avim, you have to listen to your parents for everything, right? But there's a few exceptions to that rule. One of the things the Gemara learns out is who to marry. They're not allowed to tell you a person who's going to live the rest of their life with their wife. The Gemara says that one of the examples you don't have to listen to your parents is if they tell you who to marry. A second example is actually in terms of learning. If your parents tell you not to X, Y, Z, you have to go there, 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 that's not so pashut. Again, every situation has to be done, but Be'etzem in Halacha, that is one of the examples where it kind of Kilu overrides Kibud Avim in a certain level. Again, every situation is different. You have to be careful with how to apply this, especially you have to be very careful how to apply this, because every person has to ask a Shaila for sure when you're dealing with it. But that is one of the examples where Kibud Avim is actually loses out to Talmud Torah. So we're not focused on that, but we're focused on, again, how was it that he was punished for these 22 years when his mother told him to go? So I thought, this is my answer. You could take it or leave it. I once heard a beautiful pshat from Rav Ozban Shlita. He is a Rosh Yeshiva of Tel Yeshiva. I highly recommend that if a person ever, Rachmana Letzlan, is stuck in America and has to live there and be there, so you should definitely check out the Tel Yeshiva in Riverdale. It's a very holy place. You just go there for mincha. They daven mincha. So they do Heichi Kedusha. The Minhag Yeshivas in America is they do Heichi Kedusha. So it's not, and even with that, it's still like 25 minutes. But it's a beautiful davening. Just the way they say Kedusha, the way they answer, I mean, they wait a second to answer, they think about what they're saying. Beautiful davening, a beautiful, learning over there is unbelievable. You never like imagine a place so close to the city, like in right there. They have Yom HaValayla, learning till 12, till 30, 1 a.m., steiging away. Anyway, how I got there is a whole other story, not for now. But he gave us a beautiful vort. We actually went, he's very close with Rav Ulig. With Rav Ulig from YU. So he was very close with him, and we went to visit. We went to visit the yeshiva during when YU has break. They had like a learning program in between the basically like midterm break, whatever it's called, not midterm break, between the semesters, winter break, whatever they call it. So in between that, we had a race of those who were staying to yeshiva to learn. we went to go visit him, and he gave us this following beautiful idea, and I think maybe we could use this idea to explain why Yaakov, you know, was punished so severely with these 22 years. The Pasuk by Netzavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically warning Klal Yisrael about, again, through Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them that a person is going to say, he's going to listen to the curses. He's going to say, hey, listen, that's for them. You know, you guys are the frum Jews. I can be a secular Jew and be a nice guy. I don't have to keep any of the Jews, any halachas. It's fine. Shalom Yalei, I'm doing my thing. You do your thing. Leman Sfos, Kibi Shuris Libi Lech. I'm going to go with the way my heart. Leman Sfos Harava Es Hatzmea. That the Rava is somebody who is drunk is a tzmeah, that somebody is gonna be like they're thirsty. What do you mean someone who's drunk is gonna be like they're thirsty? So Rashi explains that this is a mashal, that somebody who's drunk, generally when he does things, he's ones. He's not in control, he's incapacitated, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's out of it. Person's completely out of it, he's putter from what he's doing because he's not lav bardas when he's getting drunk. However, when he's thirsty for averus, he's taivas, that means that he's mazed. So Rashi says, "Leman tzvos harvaz es hatzmeah," that the person who's drunk is going to be like he's thirsty, which is the nimshale, is that a person who does things v'shogeg is going to be punished as if he's mazed. That he's punished as he does something v'shogeg, he's punished as if he's mazed because this guy says, "You know, I'm just leaving Yiddish guy, I don't really care." So Frektor Vazba Akasha on the Rashi, Pasher Kasha, is that fair? Granted, this guy is a shegetz, the guy's not doing things right. But the things that he did do right, the things that he did do okay, you're viewing everything that he did b'shogeg, you're now going to view it as a mazid, you're going to punish him like he's mazid. Why? Why is that fair? So Sedar Vosan very beautifully, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mashal he gave us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask that person, what did he do on Sundays? What's proud, what did he do on Sundays? A person has all week. In America, you're a working guy, you're busy, you're doing things, you're taking your family, whatever it might be. You're busy. But what do you do with the time that Hashem gives you completely a day off where you don't have to work? Where you're completely a day off? What are you doing? So Rav Osman said, if a person who has to work or do college, whatever it is, and he's busy, he's not learning, okay, you're putter, you have to do parnasa, you have to do whatever you have to do in life. However, because Baruch Hu is going to ask you, what did you do with that free time? If on that Sunday you made the most of it, or those times Hashem gave you the free time, you spent the max learning, you did whatever you could, then we view it as the whole week is a mitzvah. The whole week that you were preparing, you had to do college, you had to work, whatever you had to do, that also is a mitzvah, and that's all part of, because Hashem realizes if I had given you 24 hours in a day, you'd be learning 24 hours in a day. However, you just squander your Sundays, you're just watching TV the whole day, you're watching the NFL Sunday Ticket from 1 till 9, it's sitting on the couch all the way through and through, so you're showing that a whole week that you had off, you also wouldn't have learned if you had free time, because look what you're doing when Hashem does give you the free time. So really, the shogeg punishment is just etzem, Hashem is just looking at the person, and he's looking at him and he's saying, if he could have done everything, but mazid, he would have, because he really doesn't care. He's somebody just pouring coal, he's just throwing away the Yiddishkeit. So that type of person, says Rav Osman very beautifully, is going to be punished everything, the negative. So how in the world does that relate back to Yaakov Avinu? This is my own shot, you'll feel free to disagree, I just thought of this the other day. I think pshat could be the 20 years that he was by Laban fine. Those 20 years he had to work for Rachel, he had to work for Leah, he had to work to make a parnasa, fine. But what was Yaakov doing those 2 years? Why did it take him 2 years that he was shah, 6 months in this place, and then 6 months again, and then 6 months again, basically 1.5 reviewing us, 2 years, to get from there to get to his family? Why didn't he go faster? Hashem says to him, Yaakov Avinu, obviously on the Avos, on their level, because we're not allowed to, you know, judge, we don't even know 1/1,000th of who they were. It's like Rav Neman saw times 100, imagine, you know, criticizing them. But on Yaakov Avinu's level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, listen, you took you 20 years that you were away from your parents, and 14 years from Shem Aver, for 34 years you've been gone, you should go faster. The fact that you're spending a whole year over here, and then 6 months here, Shoshah, that the 6 months, 18 Chodashim Baderech, Debayas B'Mosach Chag Geshamim, and Sukkos B'Mosach Hama. So that 6 months that we see, that's why he was punished. Because he didn't rush right away to do the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim. And Hashem says, hey, those whole 20 years I'm going to be megalgal lechiyo for you. Because really, when I gave you the opportunity to run back, you were put through those 20 years. When I gave you those extra 2 years, why did it take you 2 years to get back? Maybe, that's why Yaakov Avinu was punished. That's just a shot, maybe we could say, a very nice idea. Rav Osman's idea is beautiful anyway. But to tie it into maybe why Yaakov was Yaakov Avinu was punished, I think it'd be a very nice idea. Nach idea. Vayetzi Yaakov Ereshav. Why is it talking about the famous Rashi? Vayetzi. Yitzia, why is it to say Yaakov is going for a future place, right? So what's going on over here? It should just say Vayelech Yaakov to Haran. Why does it say that his Yaz, who cares where he's leaving from Beersheba? So Rashi quotes the famous idea. It should just Vayelech Haran. Lama itzkir Yitziaso elamaget sheyitzia tzadik min hamakom osir roshem. Shebizman shatzadik peir hu hada uziva adara. I think it's something that we very much lack in our upbringing, at least me, I can speak for everybody over here, is the idea of the uniqueness of a tzaddik. How many of us had any sheikhs, if at all, to any tzaddikim when we were growing up? To realize on our own level, the rov of our shul, how many of us bechalad a kesher with the rov of our shul? You don't understand what tremendous, many times, hopefully all the times, many times, the Rav of the Shul is a tremendous tzaddik. He's dealing with, he's helping people with their problems. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, very big in Yanim. And how many people bichlal at any kesher with the Rav of the Shul? We bichlal, people aren't marichay. Unfortunately, it comes from a lot of people. I don't care, mostly lots of everyone's parents, but people, the parents a lot of times were not marich. They didn't necessarily give us that shkafa, that who had there, who's even the whole purpose of that city being there is for the tzaddik. Now, everyone on their own level, and we have also bigger, you know, it's very, like the Kalver Rebbe Shlita, a tremendous, he's suffering from ALS, but a huge tzaddik who lives in, to go visit him, you go visit him in Williamsburg, his Kabbalah's Kabbalah, go get a bracha from him, he's still in ALS, but still, even just seeing him, the tzaddik over there. There's many big tzaddikim in America also. The person of Shmuel Kamenetsky is tzaddik Yisrael Oila. It's Kedai to drive him, to drive. The people drive 3 hours to here to Nariya, the Gabrach of Rabbi David, or Shmuel Kamenetsky in Philadelphia, an hour, 40 minutes away from the tri-state area. I'm talking to myself, I never got a bracha from him. As the schuz to see Rav David Feinstein Shlita, you know Zachatzal, not Shlita, Zatzal. What a tremendous tzaddik! He was huge. Rav Reuven Feinstein Shlita, have the mechanim. We have big tzaddikim. Go see them. Rav Yehuchim Olshe. We have, you guys have tzaddikim around. Rav Shechter Shlita, Rav Herschel Shechter. Who Hadar? Who Ziva? That a tzaddik has the ability to mashpia. Even just see them for a few minutes is mashpia on you. Just for a few minutes is you don't understand what type of schuz it could have. The one thing, Baruch Hashem, my mother is Sephardic, so she was very into this. Like going to see big tzaddikim, you know, the schuss of Kaduri, the tzaddik, you know, who he was, and Rav Avadi Yosef, and every other big tzaddikim, Rav Yashuv. It was, and you don't know, even just seeing them for a few minutes, seeing Rav Yashuv, I was 14 years old, left an impression for the rest of my life. Just seeing Rav Yashuv for the 1.5 minutes that I saw him, left an impression for the rest of my life. To see someone who's Kokel and Rav Chaim Kanievsky also, that's how. To see Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I was mishtadel very much, and it was not easy. Last year, I went 5 times with my son to go to Rav Chaim. It's not easy at all, but it was Rav Chaim. You have tzaddikim, Rav Gershon, you should make an effort, whoever they are, or Shraga Steinman, Yitzchak, Yiftach, Medorah, Kishmul, Medorah, whoever they are in our door, we have big tzaddikim, Rav Neventzal. How often are we trying to mishamish Rav Neventzal to just sulk in his Kedusha? Just being around him, he'll be mashpia on you. Who out there? Who's Ziva? Who could, everything. The whole purpose of the city, the Kavod, the Kedusha, everything comes from the Tzaddik. And that's something I think we very much need to work on and recognize. And that's Bain in America, is what did that. And Bain in Eretz Yisrael, everywhere you are, you connect to Tzaddikim, is a very big thing. So that's over here. Fine. But Yaakov Avinu goes. Just a nice hour about, it's really more about Sukkis, but a beautiful idea comes from now about Sukkis. The Sfarim bring down that the Sukkah has a Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, even in Chutz Laretz. There's a Bechina of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael in a Sukkah. So the question is, how could that be? Like, what's going on? The Sukkah, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael moves to your Sukkah? So I heard from Baruch Simon beautifully that yes, we know that the Shalosh Ragalim are Keneged, the Shalosh Avos. Usually start from, in the Torah, starts from Nisan always. So Avram is Keneged, the start of Klal Yisrael is Avram Avinu is Keneged, the Shalosh Ragalim is Keneged Pesach. And Yitzchak Avinu is Keneged, the Torah is Keneged Gvura, is Keneged Shavuos. And Yaakov Avinu is Keneged Sukkah. So it's Keneged Sukkos. So we see that over here, Yaakov Avinu passed. So that's very beautiful. Rabbi Simon, based on this, right now, the idea of that he left, he went to Beis El, and he passed Yerushalayim. And what happened? Hashem moved Yerushalayim to Yaakov Avinu. So we see that it already happened in Bechina of Yaakov Avinu. So on our level, again, much lower level than Yaakov Avinu, where the ground actually moved, what that means for the ground to move. But on our own level, the Sukkah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kilu moves, just like it did for Yaakov Avinu. Hashem moves the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael into every single Yid Sukkah, no matter where they are, even in Chutzar. It's very beautiful. A very nice idea from the land moving. Yeah.
If you
Yitzchak was still where Aram
was. He was still what? What do you mean put down Aram? Yaakovin was a base El. He left from base. Yeah, he went from Beis Shemesh and he went to base El. Yeah.
So why
the Kedusha of Yerushalayim? The Harabayas. He missed. He left Yerushalayim.
On the last one. The Rashi, it says the. I
said
Eitzay because he left.
Oh, what? That's a good question. That's a good question. That's a very good question. I guess, even if there is another tzaddik there, having another one leave is still a big deal.
Didn't Rashi say it was wrong with him? Now
there was no that's a good point. No, it just says when he leaves. Okay, fine. That's a very good question.
I didn't think of that. I like that question.
Okay, fine. So now Yaakov goes and they find out basically he has no money, right? Vayishak Yaakov, so right after that, Vayikishma Lavan is Shema Yaakov and Achosa Vayarza Krosa Vayichabel Agonashik Vayel Beiso Vayisapa Lavan is called Advar Me'ela, because Rashi was pointing out, what is this? Vayishave, he's giving hugs and kisses? No, he was all a ra. Rashi points out, Kasavar Mamonu Toin. Why? Because Ever Abayis, Eliezer, had all this money, and he saw it nothing. What happened? Shablo ba elo mitoch ones achiv. Where did he lose all his money from? Because Yitzchak was a very wealthy man. How come Yaakov Avinu didn't have any money at this point? So what happened? I don't know. What does Rashi quote? The Midrash?
He only got like cattle.
They
didn't actually get money.
Who? What's the Midrash though? I don't know. Why did Yaakov not have any money when he came to? Very good. Eliphaz came on his shlichus of his father to kill Yaakov, and he's about to kill him. And Yaakov said, "Wait." He says, "Ani nifsof kimei, so I'll give you all my money. Don't kill me." And Eliphaz said, "Okay, fine." So the shaila I had, what's going on? It just said that Esav was going to wait until Yitzchak dies in order to kill Yaakov, right? What happens is that it says, what is the lesson of the pasuk? Where is it? Vayugad l'rifka, vayistam Esav es Yaakov ala bracha asher bircho avi, vayomer Esav belibo, yikrevu yemei evel avi, v'argas Yaakov achi. I'm going to kill him when my father dies. Pasuk shteit beferish. In Parshas Toldos. So what's going on over here? That he sent Eliphaz to go kill Yaakov at this point. So it could be. So three answers. I didn't say that one. But yeah, it could be he changed his mind. That's a little bit dolchak to say that he would just change his mind all of a sudden. I don't know. Maybe he did.
Saw his dad was like taking a turn for the worst.
Right. So on a similar note, the way I was thinking is that when did Esav say he's not going to kill Yaakov until his father dies? When they're together, when they're right there together, then he felt badly. Yitzchak's going to find out about it. It's going to create him a tremendous anguish, and that's why he's not killing him. But now that Yaakov is in the middle of Nowheresville, nobody's going to ever know if I kill him, says Esav. So he sent his son, go kill him, bury him. My father will never know that he died. Wonderful. Shalom Yisrael. That was a pshat that I gave. Rav Futter, I had a chance to ask this on the way down when he was going down to Shir. So I asked Rav Futter this question also. Rav Futter gave a little bit of a different answer. He said no. He said that Esav thought that he was always going to have the chance to kill Yaakov. As soon as Yitzchak dies, he'll kill him. Now that Yaakov Avinu is traveling all the way to go to Besuel and to go to, Besuel is dead already, but to go to Lavan, so he was afraid he's never going to have the chance to go kill him. He's not going to be in the middle of nowhere and he's not going to find him. So therefore he was afraid he wasn't going to find him. So great, you know what? Push comes to shove. I care more about killing him. They care about my Kippadav. I'm going to try to kill him. Okay, three different answers. We have Laser's answer. He changed his mind. He had my answer. That maybe he was he thought that his father wouldn't know anymore, or Futter's answer that he thought that he would lose the opportunity to try to kill him. Just a question in pshat over here. What exactly is going on? Fine. Two more ideas. First of all, I find this idea fascinating. I think it's from the Taras of Canaan. This is just a nice pshat, but it's not really three. It says that by Levi, after it was Reuben and Shimon was born, now there's third baby Levi. Now my husband's going to help me. What's pshat? Now my husband's going to help me. Okay, I gave him three children, three boys. So Rashi says, I did my chelik because I'm going to have three people. We knew that there's going to be Yud Beis Shvatim, and each one is going to have three. And he's going to love me because I gave him his share of Shvatim, three tratim. Okay, that Taras of Canaan says a fascinating shot. Maybe don't use this one at home for Shalom Bayis, but he says that when a person has two babies, you have Reuven and Shimon, so the mother's going to be responsible. She carries both of them, Reuven and Shimon. She's basically carrying them all the time. She doesn't have three arms, though. So now Levi's born as a third child. Now my husband has to help in the house. My husband has to help and take care of Levi, the baby Levi, because I'm busy taking care of Reuven and Shimon. So I said this word over to my wife. I said, okay, so the first two children, I don't have to help at all. When the third child comes, then Amir Tashem, I'll start helping out. That's what the Beferish in the Pasuk. That's what you, so don't use that at home. She was not too happy with that joke. Okay, so that's just a funny idea from there. So now, the story of the Dudaim, a fascinating story. What in the world is going on over here? What in the world is going on with the Dudaim? What are Dudaim? Dudaim are jasmine, according to Rashi, which they assumed had this therapeutic purpose of being able to be good for conceiving and having a child. Jasmine is a type of fragrance, smells good. It's a type of scent thing that smells very good. They sell in the shop. You ask them, Yasmin. In Arabic, it's called Yasmin. So, you want me to ask for them? We should bring it in and show everybody. Yeah. I'm afraid I know what they'll be in there. But, Lamaisa, what in the world is going on over here? What is Leah saying? But Tomerla, what does Leah say to Rachel? Hame'at kachtech es ishi. Ulakachta gam es udem. You took my husband. Is it not enough that you took my husband? And Rachel responds, don't worry. You can have relations with him tonight. That wasn't the right thing to do. That's why she was punished. She wasn't buried with him. But she responded at that point. What in the world is Leah saying? You took my husband? Did she not know that Yaakov worked for Rachel? What, how is she as a chutzpah to say to Rachel, hey, you, is it not enough that you took my husband? Now you're trying to take my dudayim from my child. She was angry and she like sputed her, she yelled in her anger. Kilo, again, we're talking about the imos, but she was saying this, and what in the world is Rachel? What, so I once wanted to say this and I found out very happy. I think the Kliyakar Mamish says this idea. This is unbelievable pshat. And this is Yesoide Yesodos. Mama Rachel cried, the famous song, right? What's so special about Rachel? We have Avram, we have Yitzhak, Yaakov. Mama Rachel is going to cry for us when we're going into Golas. She's going to bring us back to Yerushalayim. Why Rachel? So Chazal tell us, because of the story with Leah, that the Simanim, that she's going to be embarrassed. We could say, based on this pasuk, even further, Kliyakar, I was so happy, I think it's a Kliyakar, says this idea, and he says even further. Not just that Leah would have been embarrassed. That Leah would have been embarrassed that she had known they were going to make a whole stink right at the chuppah right there. Says the Kliyakar that Leah never knew. Never. Rachel gave the signs to Leah, and she thought that were mama. She was supposed to get married to Yaakov Avinu. And Leah never, and Rachel never told her, hey, by the way, I'm supposed to be there, just take my place. Leah never told her that. Rachel just said to Leah, go with, you're supposed to get married to Yaakov, he wants to be with you, he'll get married. And Yaakov, being a tzaddik, also wasn't going to say anything. And here, imagine this. For all these years, you've been keeping that secret, and the sister comes out and bursts, my husband, my precious husband, and he married you also. What a chutzpah that you had. I'm the older daughter. He likes me better. And now you got married to her. Imagine that. What type of mitos that you have to just stay silent, to not respond and say, hey, you fool. He wanted to marry me this whole time. He didn't even want to marry you. He wasn't interested in you. And the only reason he came here is because of you. Well, imagine the godless of Rachel over there. And it could explain to us why that was so chashuv. Imagine for all those years, Leah thought, standing up tall. I don't understand that. She was thinking, laying her head. Why does my husband not like me better? Why does he not like me better? Why didn't she know? No, she didn't know because Rachel never told her. Rachel didn't want to embarrass her. That whole time they were living together with Yaakov Avinu, she never once told Rachel, Leah, that, hey, really Yaakov always wanted to marry me. He was not interested in you, Bichlal. An unbelievable mysterious nefesh in midos to hold yourself back when someone's embarrassing and someone's yelling at you like that. To just stand there and not respond is unbelievable. And that's the zchus. That is the zchus of Rachel, that she never responded. Yeah.
I was wondering why at the end of the parsha, when Yaakov kind of like finally loses it on Laban, Yes. And all these things.
Yes.
You never mentioned the fact that, like, you tricked me. I married the other daughter, and I still worked for you for longer, and you still tried to, like, mess with me with the goats. Or you only mentioned the goats. That works so well with this. And maybe since Leah and Rachel were right there, and Leah didn't know, and that's why Yaakov didn't mention that when he was finally, like, yelling, letting out all of his anger on his father.
Oh, Leah was there, you're saying, at that point. Yeah, Taka here. No, because I say, he said La Maritani. He could say that was in private. He said La Maritani, but never yet. If that Taka works, that would be nice. Actually, would be very nice. That's a nice shot. I like that. Very good. That works in very nicely. That's another Raya that like the Kliyakar say. So I'll give a Maisa. My great-uncle Shlita is the Dayan, a very holy tzaddik in Mansi. He's the head Dayan of Visions in Mansi. So we were going once, I was supposed to take him. He's taking him to, he checks once in a while, the shechita for Vizhnitz. He checks voluntarily, but not voluntarily, he's the dayan, so he wants to make sure that all the shechita that's coming in, they're doing a proper job, all the chumras and everything like that. So he was coming to the shechita plant to check everything out, to make sure everything is good. Well, first of all, I have a lot of stories from that maestro, just driving upstate with him. It was unbelievable. We were like stuck in crazy traffic, we were late, it was, oh, whatever, not for now. Remind me to say this another time. So we end up, we get there, and so they like have you like for health reasons like put on like this like stuff like cover your like beard and cover your hair. You have to like cover your hair. It's actually a joke because Hasidim like buzz cut like their hair zero. They don't have it, but they still have to wear the like the knit things. So anyway, so that's like the rules over there. So I put one on, and my girl goes like, "Bruch Shem," he's like, you know, he's an older Rav over there. He didn't put one on. So there was like the head like health guy Yid, a Hasidish guy, who didn't know who he was Bichlal. And he starts yelling at him. Like, the chutzpah, you're not wearing the hat, you know, what are you doing here even? Like, who told you to come? What are you doing? He had no idea who he was. And he starts yelling, and he thinks it's some random guy who was there, he didn't know my grandpa was. And as soon as, like, literally, like, my grandpa's sitting there for, like, 2 minutes hearing this guy, like, disparage him. Did not say a word back to him. He didn't respond, like, I'm literally, like, the head dying, I could get you fired in the next half a second if I wanted to, you chutzpah maniac, you're talking to me like this. He didn't say a word. Literally didn't say a word. He was just sitting there like, you're right, I'm really sorry. Like, he's like apologizing to him. Then we walk into the main room, like the head of the whole place comes out and like greets him. And the guy, Mamish, realizes what he had just done. And he was like mortified about what he just said. But and he was like literally like almost going on the floor crying for forgiveness, asking like he didn't realize what just happened, and he was begging him for a mechila and ever. But I was just so amazed. Like, if I'm standing there, I'm like the head diet of Vizhitz Manti, I walk in like as a favor kilu for the kehila, going in to this place, and this guy's a chutzpah, like, start telling me, I would literally tell him off, like, who the heck do you think you are? You're like talking to me like this, like, get out of here. And he just stood there like, you're right, I'm sorry. And like, obviously when the guy came in, they figured everything was out. But it was just an unbelievable, for me, it was an unbelievable lesson in midos. Like, he didn't respond, he didn't say a word, and he just sat there and took in everything, like, because it's like, this is Mishamayim. So that's you saw it from the Baal Shem Tov, that everything that person's saying to you is always Mishamayim. Even if it's some crazy guy yelling at you, there's always something to learn from. Now again, Klape, that person himself, obviously, he's going to be punished if he does something wrong to you. But Klape, our view of Emunah, this is a tremendous level to get to, but a person should be trying their best to realize everything was Mishamayim and not get upset about the situation that he's in. Recognize Hashem put you in this very situation that you're supposed to be in and never get upset. Now, Yaakov Avinu and Rachel, they exemplified that by not responding ever to the situation with Leah. They never told her, potentially, that pshat that we could give, they never told her. We'll just end off with one last very nice idea. It says by when Yehuda was born, Hapam Oides Hashem. Hapam Oides Hashem, only now I'm going to be thinking Hashem. So what exactly is the Yesodah Dvarim over here? And further, the question is even made much bigger by the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos tells us there was nobody to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu until Leah came and said, Hapam Oides Hashem. Nobody really thanked Hashem. What does that mean? We had Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Holy Tzaddik, and the Holy Avos HaKadoshim, Sarah, Rivka. Nobody thanked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Adam, Chava, Noach. Nobody thanked Hashem. They brought karbanos, they were makir toiv. What exactly is the pshat over here that nobody thanked Hashem? So I once heard a beautiful idea based on the idea that really the we know the imos were they were nevuos. They had nevuah. They had ruach hakodesh, and they knew that there was supposed to be four wives of Yaakov Avinu. We had Rachel, Leah, right, Bilhah and Zilpah, and they were each supposed to have three Shvatim. They were bezochet to three Shvatim. Each of them are going to have three Shvatim. Okay, great. They're each going to have three Shvatim. So that's what we see by Levi, that, right? That was the third. She thought she was done. All of a sudden, out of nowhere,
comes this fourth baby, comes Yehuda. Comes Yehuda, tzaddik, and there's Yehuda, and he says, Apam Bayit Hashem, she literally was never expecting anything. She was expecting zero. She was expecting zero, and therefore, she said, wow, thank you, Akash Baruch Hu, thank you so much. I never even expected this. It's sort of, what is Akara Satov? Is that we don't have to expect anything from Hashem if we lower expectations. Baruch Hashem, we're in a world where Hashem gave us so much shefa and so much bracha. Remember, Beryl Wine was talking, was listening to a shir of his once, and he was saying one of the biggest differences from when he grew up post-Holocaust, you know, post-war era in America and in Israel, and then the last 10, 15, 20 years now, is that Hashem has given us so much bracha that our expectations are so much higher. So nobody expected to buy an apartment when you rented, you figure it out, but you had a small little, a tiny little place, you know, 20 meters, 30 meters, 300 square feet, you'd live with your till for a few years. And that was, people would make do because that's what they expected. They expected nothing. Nowadays, Akash Baruch Hu gave us so much bracha, which is amazing, but we also expect more. If we just lower our expectations a little bit, come in, everything Hashem gives us is the biggest bracha in the world. That's true Akara Satov. That's the message of Apam Oides Hashem is teaching us that this is real. Akara Satov is recognizing that we are deserving of absolutely zero, shebezero, shebezero. And if Akash Baruch Hu gives us more than that, then we'll have so much Akara Satov. Thank you Hashem for just that. Thank you Hashem that we're breathing. Thank you Hashem for my Shabbos meal. We just expect a Shabbos meal. Thank you Hashem for whatever it is. We're in yeshiva now. Thank Hashem, you're learning Mul Kodesh Kadashim. What a bracha that is that you guys have, that you're learning over here, Mul Kodesh Kadashim. So that's also an unbelievable bracha. So whatever it is in life that we have, we should be thanking Akash Baruch Hu. And that's potentially the message over here that we're trying to say, is that just lower your expectations a little bit. Apam Oides Hashem is teaching us, Leah Mamish never expected anything. She didn't expect another child. She wasn't expecting, it just wasn't happening. It wasn't the cards. All of a sudden, she has another boy. She thought there's no chance of this happening. And then she went to thank Akash Baruch Hu. We could say even further that Akara Satov is maybe the root of Mashiach. We know that Yehuda is the Shevet Lo Yasser Shevet Me Yehuda. Yehuda is eventually going to be the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach is all about Akara Satov. Akara Satov is the Iker of a Yid. We know that when it comes to Amon and Moav, it's a very interesting thing. David HaMelech comes from Rusa Moaviyah, the holy Rusa Moaviyah converted. But Moav, a man, is not allowed to come ever. Why not? Because they didn't give you food and water when you're coming from Mitzrayim. They didn't remember that they should have a Akara Satov to you, everything that you've done, you're related and things like that. And what do we say? You are never permitted to come into Klal Yisrael. You're out. You're out of the fold. We never want you. What a tremendous yisod that is, that you're not even part of Yiddishkeit if you're not that. And yet, the woman who didn't have that issue, they were allowed. And that's the Shalshelis of Mashiach. So we could say so strongly that Akar Satov will eventually bring about Mashiach potentially. That this is what we're trying to say right now, is that Akar Satov is so big, it's such a big thing, that we should recognize Akar Satov could even bring about Mashiach. We're in a door that we don't appreciate enough. We have to appreciate our parents, everything they do for us. You know, in yeshiva, they're sending to yeshiva, whatever it might be, everyone in life, even if they're past ages. I mean, their grandpas, they help with your children when you're Mirtz Hashem and get married, your wife, and things like that. They do so much for us. Hakara Satov is the ikar point of a yid, is that they're not even welcome if you don't have this midah of Hakara Satov. So we have to recognize and thank Hashem for everything that He does for us. Hapal Maides Hashem. I actually think that nigun is so beautiful. Dainanayan, thank you Hashem. Because people really meant it. People were singing it at different times, thanking Hashem and Suda Soda. I think it really did raise awareness. I think they have big schusim, those who made the song. I don't know exactly who was the Baal and the Mechaber of that Indian, but I think that that's something that we could realize that it's a big thing. Thank you Hashem, to really mean it. To recognize, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a nes every single day. That's the famous Rasul Vajik said so beautifully. That the Rambam holds, every single day is a miracle. That's why Yod's Tefillah is Doraisa every single day. Because every day that we're living, that we're breathing, what a miracle. Thank you Hashem for what you've done. It's a miracle. And that's why he says Tefillah is Doraisa every day. That's how he explained the Shita of the Rambam. So we should recognize that. B'siyat HaShmaya, a wonderful Shabbos. V'makrif Tov to Hashem. And we'll have a Akara Satov and we'll bring about Geula. That's what we're trying to say now. That brings about Geula. B'siyat HaShmaya, have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.